everyone. Thanks for coming. It is 12 noon, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Jane.
Conklin.
Here.
Grunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Page.
Here.
Solomon.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Item number three, the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, the staff, or the public may ask that any of the items in the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item in a new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have two items. Item A is the approval of the August 14th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. And item B is approval to purchase materials and equipment as requested by the Heritage Center and recommended by the Historical Commission at a cost not to exceed $1,700. Is there any from the public or commissioners for further discussion? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve as presented to the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. And then we have some numbers here for, I think we're here on that item, so all is good.
Thank you.
Hearing citizens' comments from public on any topic that's not an agenda item. Yes?
Hi, Ashton Cousins with the Boyne Area Chamber of Commerce. I just wanted to let everyone know we are hosting a housing forum here tomorrow at 1 p.m. in this room, and we'll be talking about solutions. We've invited, it's open to the public, anyone can come. We are looking for discussion about solutions to the issue of housing, how we can get more housing here for the people who work and live here, and address those critical needs. So it's going to be very solutions-based, looking at what can we each do to be part of the solution to that. So if anyone has any questions or anything, let me know. But we hope that people will come and be part of the solution with us.
Thank you, Ashley. And we have invited to that not only city officials, but township officials, too. So we're looking at the greater Boyne City area.
Yep.
Because it's more than just a citywide issue. Any other comments? Moving on to correspondence. I got this in the mail, the reception at the MML conference that you're all invited to. Sure, we'll go to that. Mike, City Manager's report.
A few things, and that changed around 2 o'clock this morning. When a severe storm blew through the city, basically starting at the marina and working its way east in the general line between Old City Park and State Street, continuing east to the city limits and out to the wood areas behind. While there are no reports of a tornado, it looks like it might have been some straight line winds, took down a lot of trees, and with it some power lines and poles, which are in the process of being repaired. Consumer Energy currently reports about 140 some people out in the community with estimated times of restoration about 11:30 tonight. I have heard no reports of significant injuries or damage to buildings. We did have some communications issues at our north water well field that caused low water pressure for many of our customers north of Division Street this morning. The north water tank is currently being refilled, and with it, the water pressures are being restored to their normal levels. Most of the things I've heard is that they generally are back to normal or very close to it around town, but there may be some spot locations that are still having a little bit lower water pressure than normal. With all today's commotion, we'll reschedule the appearance of our new John Deere ATV that was previously approved by the City Commission. We had talked about having that available for display today, but the cruiser occupied elsewhere. Kayak racks that have been donated by Holman Dock and Lift have been placed at both Riverside and Veterans Park. You may see these stainless steel down in those locations. They're kind of there on a test basis, and may be changed depending on the public feedback and what we hear from users of the area. A reminder that tonight we'll be having our parking study meeting. We have a presentation on that a little bit later on the agenda, but there'll be a public information meeting that will be held at 6 p.m. here in the commission chambers. Tomorrow night in this room as well at 6:30 p.m., we'll be holding a pre-construction meeting for the West Michigan Woodland Water Main Extension Project. That will be taking place here as well. The airport will close this Saturday at noon in preparation for Sunday's annual drag race, which will begin at noon on Sunday. And we're going to have, at the beginning of that, a brief remembrance of our former police chief, Randy Howard. And this is the first race since his death. You may recall that Randy and the Boynton City Police Department created and ran the drag race for many years. The airport should reopen Sunday evening around 8 o'clock. The residential rubbish collection program wraps up for the year on Thursday, September 6th. So you have two more opportunities right now to get your things out and gone. If you have household hazardous waste, the county will be holding their annual local collection at the Road Commission Garage on September 14th and 15th. You do need to make reservations for that, and they will be accepting calls at the county starting on September 4th. And the newest member of the Boynton City Police Department, Jake Michaels, will be sworn in here right after Labor Day on Tuesday, September 4th at 10 o'clock in the morning right here in the commission chambers. And we invite everybody that's interested to come and please welcome into our community. So, if you have any questions on these or other items, we'd be glad to try and address them.
I have just one question.
Yes.
If we have computers that basically transmit data back and forth between the water reservoir tanks and the pump control mechanisms, and that communications data went out, so as the water level went down in the tank, it did not tell the pumps to turn on, so we had to run them in manual mode to get the tank filled back up. That happens from time to time at either of our well locations, and it just happened to hit us last night as well.
Moving on to some reports of officers, boards, and committees. In our packet is the July financial statement. Cindy's not here. Mike, to answer any questions? Any questions on that, commissioners?
I have just one. Mike, on the construction funds, the city facilities construction fund still has a balance of $220,000.
Right.
Well, what's the status of that? Or does that need to be spent by a certain time? Or
no, there isn't. I've checked with our financial consultants on that. Again, some of that money is going to be used for additional signage around the building, like the TVs and things for this. Again, I want to make sure that we had everything pretty well squared away before we talk about spending any of that additional money.
Like, has everything been paid? And
pretty much. We still have about $15,000 that we're holding from the contractor with regards to some touch-up items around the building. So, yeah, we're about $200,000 to good right now. Now, part of that also was money, a small portion of that was money that was not used for the finishing of the museum area. That's only a small portion of that. The money we saved by not finishing that up was relatively small.
Okay, moving on to the old business, citywide goals.
I have a question.
Yes.
Was it the city of Boynton City that sent out the survey to residents of Boynton City about citywide goals?
Yes.
In the future? Do you have a copy of that survey here available?
Mike, do you
answer that? I'm not sure if I have a copy of the original survey that went out. I'll take a quick look. We could provide one at another time if I don't.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I was lucky enough to receive one. And I received, and I filled it out extensively. And I had put in some comments that I thought were very relevant, that from when I read the results and the people did not appear at all. And they were concerning the schools, and I was wondering It was I the only person that, it was about retaining our youth in Boynton City.
All of the comments were compiled and by staff. All the comments were, yes, go ahead, Mike.
I don't have the original questionnaire itself with me at this time. I do have copies of the results that I can share with you.
Okay.
Those are available for the public. And I can give these to you right now. It has all the questions and what the answers were on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then any written comments were...
Yeah, I had written also.
Yes, and those were all shared with the city commission.
Okay.
So I have a copy of both of those if you'd like it.
Can you write them?
If you want to, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so Mike, can you handle this one?
Yes, and let me get to the right screen. Attached to the City Commission's review and consideration are the six goals that were identified at your October 7th work session. With each item is a draft narrative, a descriptive narrative, which seeks to provide further clarity regarding what is trying to be accomplished. Can I have a couple? About 10 sheets of these things right here, just in case you have a great copy of it. As we move forward with our formal adoption of our goals, more specific messages will need to be developed to track our progress in meeting these objectives, and we did not have to identify those at this point. Public participation in this process began in June when the community-wide goal-setting tool was made available for completion in both digital and paper formats. That process continued until they were due on July 2nd. After that time, the results were tabulated and reported back to the City Commission and the public. On July 16th, the public was invited to take the top results and work to better define them and determine possible ways to address them. That information was gathered and again reported back to the City Commission. Working with all the above input, the City Commission then met on August 7th and developed the attached six goals, directing staff to attempt to summarize the results and report back for today's public reveal. Today's reveal is to determine if these efforts by staff and myself have captured the Commission's intent and expectations, and then make them available for public input prior to their consideration at a future City Commission meeting for formal adoption, which is currently scheduled to take place at our evening meeting on Tuesday, September 11th. We've included at the bottom of the reveal sheet the next steps that are included in this process. So it's a recommendation that the City Commission review the attached reveal sheet to ensure that it reflects their intentions, make any modifications necessary that either be today or at a subsequent meeting, and then release the proposed goals for any further public input and suggestions. Megan, as I mentioned, we do have the goals, and let me get those up on the screen right now. And here are the six. And these are in no particular order, just kind of the way they were discussed. The first one is finance, resource planning, and efficiency. To develop and improve tools and better processes to better forecast future city financial needs, such as the capital improvement plan, for the purpose of using all finances and other resources as efficiently as possible. I can either go through these, or if the commission wants to stop, or if I'm going to stop and discuss either one of these. But I assume we'll have an opportunity for that.
Yeah, why don't you go through them all, and we'll come back for discussion.
Okay, sounds good. The next one is community engagement. Which is to develop and improve tools and processes to better communicate and engage the community in all areas related to the city and its operations. The next one is housing. Work with all segments of the community to develop and implement a common strategy for the creation of a sustainable mix of housing options in and around Boynton City that will meet current and future needs while maintaining the character of our community. The next one was water quality. Protect and enhance all elements of water quality that Boynton City impacts, especially associated with stormwater. The next item is economic vitality. Foster a strong local year-round economy that builds upon existing businesses and industries while welcoming new compatible ones. Focus efforts and resources in efforts to create more family-sustaining jobs. one is parks and recreation. Complete existing recreation projects and develop plans to implement future improvements, focusing first on those recommended in existing plans and studies. And then, as I mentioned before, the next steps, including today's reveal and then the adoption and other steps, are shown at the bottom of that sheet. So that is our report.
At this point, I'd open up to public comment and staff and department head comment. It's been a very thorough process, and we would welcome your comments. Everybody speak a little.
Are you still, no, I was reading. Are you still on the old business?
We are.
Okay. What does
can you state your name, please, for the records?
Pardon me?
Can you state your name, please?
Diane Rosinski.
Okay. And please speak.
Okay. I would like to make a point back to about the retaining of our youth in Boyne City. I was born in Boyne City, and I, unfortunately, my family did have to leave. Fortunately, we were able to come back as we got retired. But the fact being that I have several nieces and nephews and grandchildren and other close family members who the Boyne City School District pays an excellent K-12 for them to go to school in Boyne City. Then they go to college, and then they leave. And I can tell you three right now. And I'd like to know why Boyne City doesn't do more to retain the youth that we have educated. And we all know that the growth is in health care and education and hospitality. Why are we not encouraging these fields in our area to retain our youth, that our citizens have spent their good was 4.3. My mother lived in town, downtown Boyne City. Her tax money to send, and many family members in their life, they're educating their students. As a matter of fact, my son-in-law and my daughter are leaving right now because the lack. My nephew is he just got his German's, just got graduated from his internship program. Now, why was Boyne City not on it? The East Jordan Ironworks was building that ironworks over there and training our students and our youth to go over there and work so that we didn't have to bring our town and state skilled workers. When there is a $6 million shortage of skilled workers in our country, why are we not training our youth to fill these jobs?
Appreciate your comments.
I also would like an answer. A way to expand on helping our youth to be retained. We are spending a lot of money. Boyne City has an excellent school district. People come from the out-of-town school districts to come to Boyne City to leave. And is that what we want?
I just want to point out that, one, that specific topic with regards to retaining youth was a focus of our discussion at the pavilion as well, too. And as the commission met on their August 7th work session, that topic basically, they believe, filtered into all the topics, whether it's housing, the economy and the vitality. They looked at all of these things, and the six items that they came up with, all as tools to help encourage the youth in our area to stay here. A lot of the questions that you're raising are very good ones, and that we're having discussions with the school board and the school superintendent with regards to. They are just in the process of starting an alignment program.
I know they are.
So, with Great Lakes Energy, and we've been working with them for a number of years with regards to different vocational education training programs, which the state as a whole got basically shied away from for a number of years, and we're bringing a lot of those, we're trying to encourage those as alternate ways for people, if they want to go to college, fine. If there's other things that in local industries that can be sorted, supported here without going to college, that's fine as well too. So while it didn't make the six goals specifically with regards to what the commission is unveiling today, the commission had specific discussion about that topic at our August 7th work session and felt that by handling the economic vitality and the community engagement and housing issues, those three in particular and some of these other ones such as, well, basically all of them, they thought, if we do a good job on those, it'll make Boyne City more attractive, both as a place to live, where they can live, and where they do want to come back at some point if they do go away for a period of time.
And because I look at the major expansion at McLaren Hospital in Petoskey. Now those people, that's jobs. Those people have got to live somewhere. And why isn't Boyne City encouraging them to come to Boyne City to live?
The quick answer that I would give is, I believe we are. That's why working with the Chamber of Commerce, there's going to be a housing forum so people can have affordable houses to live in. Things that young families and people of all different points in their lives can have appropriate housing. Right now, one of the real issues that we're having in our community is that people may want to come here and people are being employed by the schools and other organizations or by some of our businesses in the business park. But without adequate housing, we can welcome to Boyne City, but there isn't a place for them. So I think all these things are being addressed. I would encourage you to come to the forum tomorrow to hear what's being discussed about housing and to stay active with regards to this. I think your message is being heard.
Okay, because I feel about affordable housing, I feel that we should be encouraging as a city and as a tax base, because that's what it's all about. We should be encouraging the industries where the people are making money, that where they're making a good living. And it's nice to have a young, you know, Boyne City survived for 150 years already with young families. The streets, the Boyne City has survived. My father and mother both graduated from Boyne City High School. So Boyne City has survived. Young families have survived. Many of us had to leave and come back, but regardless, I think a point should be made to encourage the people who have the money and who have where the housing is affordable to them in Boyne City. When you have housing, I'm going to use this as an example. Unfortunately, an $11 an hour Lexmark employee costs the city of Boyne City money to have live here.
I think you are being heard loud and clear. We have, as Mike said, have these discussions and they're all intervolved with each other, and we would welcome your participation and your
input. And I know we have heard you. I have a lot of documentation, and I am very interested.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else? So let's go to commission discussion on the topic of our goals. Ryan, you can start.
Well, I kind of honed in on the number one and number six. It's, I'd like to see our current format that we're using for the capital improvement plan completely changed, where we have items like return on investment included in some type of a column on there. And number two, number six, complete the existing recreation projects. I think they should be also in the capital improvement plan. So it's a one-page document. We can see where the return is, where we are strategically, what's been accomplished, and what our goal is. So it's, I think the process that we're currently using is a little bit vague and it's shooting in the dark, but I think I'd like to see some of the numbers on it, and particularly, projects that are underway too that are, so it's, then we can look at it, return on investment as far as where our dollars are best spent. So that's all I've got to offer on that.
Are you offering, are you saying that through the goals or through number one?
Through a capital improvement plan that's redone, reformatted in a one-sheet document. It's real simple and easy to understand what projects are still open.
Sally?
The one I keep doing, and I tell you because it's been, you know, everywhere you go, you hear of the situation with housing. And so I'm especially interested in the downtown areas where there are buildings that are vacant, or you know, what can be done for those who work here all summer in businesses, and then they're gone. So I think that's a big one that we should study that.
A seasonal housing solution?
Well, seasonal, not so much seasonal as even rooms, you know, a boarding situation for workers.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
I really like these some thoughts about the text of the goals themselves. I kind of prefer stuff having a category rather than a statement. For instance, instead of finance, resource planning, efficiency, perhaps something like the excellent stewards of taxpayer funds or funds or something like that. That's an action, it's active, as opposed to just a category. Or community engagement would be, you know, engage our community. Or housing would be increasing housing availability, or some other word that would be more appropriate for the topic. Or in the case of water quality, what we were really talking about, I think what the concern was protect Lake Charlevoix and Boyne River. So it's more, you know, action-oriented and more specific than a general topic area. I also think some of the, we might be able to wordsmith some of the things to be more, not qualify any statements to make them declarations, you know. For instance, a word like as efficiently as possible, qualify as a word of efficiently, it should be efficiently, you know. And little things like that, I think we can modify to make them have more meaning to people who weren't in the rooms when we had these discussions and didn't participate in surveys. So I think I like all the six categories we have. I think we can wordsmith them just a little bit to make them more meaningful to our whole community in addition to the commissioners. The other thing I thought in a couple of the categories was, for instance, in housing availability and in keeping our economy and in economic vitality, we also need to hone in the goal statement on what we can do as city government as opposed to a general statement about the need for something. For instance, I think with housing, a key area of ours that we can impact is to align our city regulations and plans to support the vision of something development statement. You know, likewise with economic vitality, that what we can do really relates to our plans and policies as a city government, in addition to all the things we talked about that, building partnerships and fostering a strong economy. So things like that, I think, can sharpen up the language of the goals to be reflective of what we heard in the survey and our discussions. A couple of thoughts came to mind, too. One of them, just based on the discussion we had earlier, is that I wonder if there would be benefit to a short paragraph preamble that talks about how we got from our process to our goals, and a little bit more about the process, and also maybe even a sentence about keeping youth in our community, because it came up very strongly, but you couldn't read this and find it. You know, you have to explain it. So even just a sentence like one particular issue, keeping youth in our community, came up again and again. The feeling of the commission that that's incorporated into all of the other goals, or to be successful at that, we need to address all these other goals so that people who would read that, if they were to read it, could see that, how we got to that point. One of the thoughts that we had talked about before was, how will we know if we're successful at the end of 2 years? And, you know, it sounds kind of great, well, we'll just put that in, but I think it's kind of hard, you know? And I'm sure that trying to craft a short statement that might be on the city staff probably ran into that challenge. How do we really say how how we're going to be successful. So I'm wondering, is that, you know, the next steps as we talk to boards and commissions in our meeting, whether we can explore that more from others' perspective. What does 2 years from now, if we reflect back, how will we know if we're successful at achieving our goal? And so I think more work on that, more guidance from our boards and commissions or others who want to participate would help us along in that route. The other thing I was wondering is the next step with boards and commissions is if we could, under each of these, and with city staff help too, is identify some more specific action items that, you know, for instance, you know, on finance, resource planning, and efficiency, what are some specific steps that we're going to engage in order to meet that goal? And we talk about one is revising our the format and structure, perhaps, of our capital improvements plan, one of them. We also talk about, it's in process with budgeted for it, but we ought to state it is the idea of getting professional help in financial forecasting, which we talked about. I think having that as being the flexible part that we can change as we go gives us some benchmarks and also gives us a way to be able to talk about methods for implementing our plans. So anyhow, those are some of my thoughts about the text and about some ways that we can use this tool to move ourselves forward.
Very well said, and Dean has been very involved in this process, so I think we'll keep him involved to implement your suggestions.
Not ready to fire me yet.
Okay, you?
So, Mike, do you anticipate the next step being where we have action items that we as a commission would sit down and target action items, or would the subcommittee do that, or would we create a committee on of the commission for that? Because that, to me, seems to be the most important next step, is to create action items.
I think that's a step beyond this step, in conjunction with our boards and commissions and the discussion we have with those folks. Further discussion with staff and with our boards and commissions as we try and assign who's going to be responsible for what and, you know, help determine some of the action items. I think we really want to get their input as well, too, rather than just, you know, us trying to figure out what's the best way. I think it would be beneficial to get their input and then kind of hone in on some of the items that Dean was talking about as well, too.
So would we have a general meeting with the Planning Commission, Main Street, the Chamber Board, or would we meet individually? Or?
Well, again, we have an implementation workshop that's scheduled for the week of September 18th, okay. Is what we have preliminary anticipated. So I think at that workshop is when we begin that discussion, assuming, you know, again, tweaking this as we want to tweak it, maybe looking at some of the suggestions that Dean mentioned for possibly reformatting some of these materials, and then having that discussion with them.
Yeah, great. No, I think we've made good progress and good work, and you know, I think we're on to something, personally. Yeah.
So. Thank you. My input is I agree that what you just said, Hugh, that we're heading down on the right road here. Three comments is that I didn't feel that these were quantitative, and Dean already mentioned that, so somehow we have to figure out a way to measure our success. Number two is I think numbering 1 through 6, they should be bullet points, not numbers, because numbers seem to indicate the importance, the value of importance based on what number they are. And I do agree with Dean, some verbs to create the action. The first sentence is an action statement. So I appreciate all your comments. I think so noted. We still got our work cut out for us. We still have to, as Mike said, meet with the boards. We have to present this to the public. We have to, then it's our guiding light for the next 2 to 3 years until we do this process again, correct?
Correct. Again, this is the initial unveiling, revealing to the public. This is the first phase of the implement, the presentation to it. We have between now and September 11th to get it, if we stay with our existing schedule, to tweak this into a format that we're ready to potentially adopt at September 11th. Then once we adopt it, then we follow up with our boards and commissions and, you know, start the real hard task of, you know, not just having it in words, but think of the implementation strategies to actually get these things accomplished.
So what are you looking for today? Are you looking for?
Well, again, the input that we motion that's required at this point. As the commissions have this, and again, the numbering was stricken from the format that was originally provided to the commission, and the one that's up there now, they're all, at this point, equal topics and goals. But if the commissioners have specific suggestions, then we'll be working through those in the next week or two, and we'll, you know, be setting up additional formats in advance of getting it to the commission on the 11th. So if you have suggestions along the way, please toss them in. Any specifics would be helpful.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion, commissioners? We understand our role.
Good.
All right.
Good track, yeah.
Moving on to new business, number 9, parking study presentation. And we have our guests here from...
Sir, is this the best place to stand for a presentation?
Sure.
All right. I'm Richard Murphy. I'm here with the Michigan Municipal League. The league is administering a technical assistance program for the Michigan Economic Development Corporation intended to help communities identify barriers along the critical path between some of your priority redevelopment sites in town and getting the developer in and doing something on those sites in order to meet some of these goals that you have identified locally. Because Boyne City is certified as a redevelopment-ready community, you have access to this program. And in our conversations with staff, we identified an interest in having a parking capacity study for the downtown area in order to identify where new development could be accommodated and what needs might exist within the parking system in order to support that development. We contracted with Rich and Associates to perform the parking study, and Annika Norris is here from Rich and Associates to present the preliminary findings and talk about next steps in the process. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. It's a lot of information to present in 10 to 15 minutes, so I'm going to give myself a stopwatch and let me know if you have questions. So we started the process in June. We came up, we did some turnover occupancy analysis, we did a parking inventory, and we got some building inventories from staff, kind of put all that stuff together, and today I'll kind of walk you through the process of the study. To the next slide here. Okay, so overall study area, and I know this is kind of small for everybody out there. It's 11 by 17, so it's a little awkward.
There we go.
So we included a couple things that the boat launch area, more to see some impacts of the downtown area and understand what was going on there. We've also got City Hall with the parks right up here included, and we know that's a lot of parking and we understand that, but we wanted to see how that could potentially help with shortages in the downtown, if there were any. So we've got kind of two study areas. We've got the overall study area, which includes the boat launch. It kind of comes to City Hall. We come down to North Street and kind of jog down, down to State Street, coming across on East Street down to kind of the core downtown area. Sorry, just make sure I get all the names right. Coming down and capturing one of the school buildings, and then straight across over to the beach area that have the two public lots and kind of up the water. When we look at the core downtown area, and that's what we call it in the report, is the core, we're looking at basically River Street down to Main Street with a little jet out, catching some of the businesses along Lake Street, and then up Front Street with some restaurants and such off of the end of Water Street and back up to River. when we look at this whole area, we obviously know that we're probably not going to get employees to walk all the way up here. But we need to know if in peak areas or in event areas, you know, what's out there and what's available. So going on to the next slide. So the parking supply has been inventoried and set up for you on a map. The city already had a lot of this information. Some of the information that we've included as well is we've separated the public from the private. In the public areas, it shows handicapped spaces. We did not include that in all the private. We do in the public just to make sure that you have the right number of spaces that need to be barrier-free. We also are looking at time restrictions and such. I went out and just found a couple errors that I had on the two-hour areas that I thought were two-hour because we had so many conversations about them being two-hour, but there's no signs that says they're two-hour, right? And I caught a couple, two more 15-minute spots that I somehow had missed. But in the recommendations, we talk about getting those up so you can see them over top of an SUV, so it's not an issue, but that's later. And then I also have the number wrong for the city hall lot. Somehow that number got doubled. So we'll get that fixed as soon as we get back. A key portion off of this slide is a general rule of thumb in the parking industry is that a municipality control at least 50% of parking in the downtown. What this allows you to do is it allows for more shared use parking, and you'll hear me say that several times throughout this report. Shared use parking is extremely important for a successful downtown, because most downtowns don't require businesses to provide parking unless it's a residential hotel or hotel use or just a really, really big impact on the downtown. And the reason is so they can help the downtown become more dense, right? And we put the parking in the right spot. So if I come downtown, I can go to either a lot or find a street on space and know that I can park there and visit multiple businesses, right? Because if we go out of town to the hardware store, that's maybe more of a strip mall setting. When I'm done at the hardware store, but maybe I want to go to a couple other businesses, maybe close enough to walk to, but I have to, you know, walk out of that lot, I can't, because it clearly states in a private lot that this parking is specifically for this use only, right? So the more public parking that we have, or it doesn't have to be owned wholly, it can be a shared agreement, but the more public parking we have, the more opportunities we have for people to stay in the downtown and visit multiple destinations without moving their car, creating congestion, all that kind of stuff. So shared use is where we want to be. But that whole 50% rule, you are within the entire study area, you're at 67. Right, so we're going to keep focusing though on this core. You're still above that rule of thumb, and that's a minimum standard. So that's not, let's get to 50% and stop. We need to go higher, because the higher we are, the more opportunity you have for, you know, if you have a restaurant come in, you're not going to deplete all your parking. The more shared use you have, the better opportunities you can have to change uses or get additional uses in your downtown without having to build a lot more parking. So when we look at the core, it's at 69%. So you're still above there, but we're still encouraging you to try to make some more improvements and bring that higher.
Can I ask you, when you say control, you mean municipality control, what does that mean?
It means that you either own the parking or that you have an agreement with the private entity that owns it that allows for public parking to occur. And that can be either it benefits both people to have it, it can be some sort of lease agreement, or it could be maybe the city sweeps it or puts it in lighting or signs it, those types of things. So it doesn't mean that the city has to go out and buy all of it. We want to work together. Because the whole part of another thing with a parking system is it's meant to, especially for a municipality in a downtown setting, it's meant to benefit the whole downtown. It's meant to benefit all the businesses. So however we can make those agreements to keep parking shared and in the public realm, the better. Okay, next slide. Okay, we also looked at the turnover, and there's a map on here, and it'll be in the report, and the report is made public, and right now it is in preliminary. There's going to be some things that change, We've already got a couple parking spots that change. We need to get public feedback. We need to get some staff feedback. So there will be changes to the report. But some key things when we look at turnover, when we did a turnover occupancy analysis, we do it every 2 hours. We started at 9 a.m. and ended at 9 p.m. We follow the same route. We're looking at occupancy. So in locks, in certain areas that we're not looking for turnover in, we're counting, seeing how many are there on each of those turnover circuits, or turnover occupancy circuits. But when we're looking at the turnover, we're writing down license plates and following that same route every 2 hours to see if people are staying there all day or if they're moving. In some communities, you get this shuffle where they move every 2 hours so they don't get a ticket and things like that. I think everybody pretty much knows that parking enforcement only occurs on a complaint basis. So we did find several people parking on street, and I apologize for the size of this.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Why did you select a Thursday to do this study?
Thursdays are typically in downtowns that day where a lot more people go out to dinner and come downtown. Mondays and Tuesdays aren't usually as good. Thursdays, because we're looking for a baseline here to start with our numbers for our demand matrix for the parking demand. The parking demand is not fully based on this either, though, but we want a day that has a good amount of traffic in the downtown. Thursday nights are kind of the new Friday for downtowns all over the U.S., where a lot more families and such go out for dinner on Friday, so you get a good weekday peak, but you don't get that maximum peak that you see on Saturdays and Sundays, is what we want. We want a baseline so we understand, first of all, how your parking is operating, where people are parking, and then we can build off of that baseline based on trends and other data. We know that parking is going to be busier on the weekends, but we also know some offices and such are going to be closed, but we can also raise, you know, our model to make sure we're accounting for that. But Thursdays are overall, that's the day we really like to see, because it gives us a good, slightly above average for our weekday.
So what if it would have been raining that Thursday?
Well, we would have still done some counts and then come back on another day. The weather was beautiful. It was a great day. It was June 28th, so there was a lot of traffic in the downtown. It felt like a really good day to be there. Yeah, we'll accommodate. I mean, I don't. If it's thunder and lightning, I'm gonna reschedule. Uh-huh. So,
I have another follow-up question. So, how fair is it to generalize based on one day? I mean, here in Boynton City, January is certainly a lot different than June.
Right.
It happened to be going on that day. It also seems like here that Fridays are Fridays. That's when we see, you know, that restaurant. Much more activity.
Right.
In town, so I know you do this lots of different places. I'm sure you get this question all the time, but it's only just one point in time. How does that help us?
But this turnover and occupancy is more of us to understanding where people are parking, how they're parking, are they breaking the time limits? We have a lot of employees parking on the street, taking that customer visitor space that could really change your numbers, which you have a lot of people parking on the street in the core in the wrong spot. It's kind of, you know, if we don't get those customers and visitors in, we're not going to keep making money. So basically, we're not just basing it on you. And the cool thing is, the company I work for has been in business for 55 years. The owner of that company has been in the parking industry his entire life. Basically, as soon as he graduated from college and put himself through college working in the parking industry. So I'm the youngest. I'm not that young anymore. And I have 13 years. All these other guys have 30 plus, which is really cool. They taught me a lot. One thing that we found in downtowns is, so we're not basing the whole thing on this day. We're observing a lot while we're here. We get a lot of feedback from all the businesses. We had several business owners come in and sit down with us for a good half an hour or more, explaining to us what their issues are, what things work and don't. And I know that can be different, right? Everybody has a different perception of what's going on. It affects everybody differently, but taking all that into account and then taking what we've done across the U.S. and other countries kind of similar, and things like that, this just kind of helps us really understand it.
But I think in terms of this aspect of the study, I'm understanding you to say it's more about the pattern than the actual number.
Exactly.
Thursdays are kind of a good day to sort of judge the pattern.
Right.
Even if the number is higher or lower on a given Thursday or on a given month.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, can I ask another question?
Oh, yes, sir. In the study that you've got, you kind of explained some of that too. It's on page 22, where you talk about the two levels of parking analysis to determine. Mm-hmm. One is a mathematical or hypothetical model. Could you explain what that is? Is that just an industry thing where you take certain information and you plug it in? So that helps you arrive at a number as well as just a visual observation.
Exactly, right. So my boss used to always say that there's a science and an art to this. Parking is not static ever. Parking is constantly changing based on the intensity of the restaurants or retail that you have in the downtown, or lack of intensity, and additional new uses that come and go. So parking has to be managed. It has to be managed every year, and 2 years from now, we might need to look at and adjust this. But we're giving this whole model to staff so they can work on it and teaching them how to adjust things based on what's in the report. So yes, there are a lot of sciences out there. You know, we talk about how we look at ITE standards, the transportation industry standards. The problem with those is they're really hot. They're developed more for suburbs, and they stay right in the book when we first open it and start into the introduction. These are not for all downtowns. Yes, they do some downtown settings, but overall, they're too high, but we can glean some information out of what those standards are. But we also look at all these communities. Like, I particularly specialize in downtowns. A lot of downtowns similar to your size. Yeah, I've worked in a lot of bigger ones too, but this is what I love. This is what I really enjoy. So taking my experience, taking the industry standards, taking what we see and observe, and putting all of that together to get where we are here, because this is not an exact science, right? We have to get a lot of public input on this and really understand what people's perceptions are, because whatever the perception is, you have to tackle it. If you don't tackle that perception because someone else thinks it's not reality, well, that person who sees it thinks it is. So there's a lot of stuff. Yes?
Is the ultimate bottom line goal to get as much shared parking as possible?
Yes.
I mean, that would seem the most efficient use of
it. Yes. Yeah, and what are the recommendations further on? So we won't have to spend all the time making the recommendations and give them something now, but one of the recommendations is that you limit the number of private parking lots in your downtown, and that if you try to not allow any more in the core area, unless it's a residential use or a hotel use, and then that's different, because if you don't provide those spaces, they just don't work. So in the report, there's a lot of information. A lot of technical stuff, a lot of facts that you can put to people who say, well, we don't have enough parking, or no, my employees aren't parking on the street, or, you know, there's a lot of things that will come up that this, you can go to the report and say, well, look, they did this study, and yes, it was one day, but look what happened here, and it was during peak summer season when your employees shouldn't be parking on the street, right? We have to look a little further in the summertime. So you'll see the numbers, and like I said, I didn't just do turnover in the two-hour areas. I did it in the areas that we felt should probably be two-hour as well, just to see what was going on in those areas, and we learned a lot. You know, we saw where people are staying a really long time and where they're not, and this lot over on Water Street, right over here, I was surprised at the number of vehicles that were parked for a really long time when that restaurant, you know, that they need some turnover there. It's most likely employees. So go ahead and go to the next. Kind of a bit over my time, so it's cut me off. So the overall occupancy that day, so we've got it. We've got it in charts and we've got it in nice maps, which are really awesome, because I gave you a map of every count that we did throughout the day, so you can see spatially how those lots and on-street spaces went up or down throughout the day. But the big things that we need to look at is your overall peak occurred basically from 1 until 5. There was one space difference at the 3 to 5 spot, but at 39% occupancy. When we look at the whole area, and then when we come down to look at the core, we're looking at 48 in the core, which peaked at 1 to 3. And we dropped to the 3 to 5, dropped down just a little bit at 45%. So a lot of people thought that the peak was occurring in the evening, and it might occur more in the evening. I mean, I really suspect with what we typically see in downtowns on a Friday night and a Saturday night, or a Friday and Saturday. But on this Thursday, the peak, so at 11, we're at 44%, at 1, 48, at 3, 45, at 5, 45, and then at 7 to 9, 47. So we see a little bit more of an increase, but that peak, it's not a huge difference between, it's only a 5-car difference between 1 and 3, so that lunch and the dinner, which is pretty much what we expected to see in the downtown. Next slide. So this parking demand table that we been talking about a little bit, this will be given to staff. So any type of land use changes goes into this, any parking use changes or parking number changes goes into this. It multiplies per 1,000 square foot of use type in the downtown by a parking generation ratio. And then it spits out what the demand is. It's got the parking supply in here as well. And then you get a surplus deficit. We've gone out 5 years and 10 years as well. And we'll sit down with staff tomorrow and talk about the 5 and 10 year, because that was me looking at what lots were available potentially for different types of new use to go into, and me kind of coming up with, okay, they say there can be a 3-story building, so I'm guessing in most downtowns we see this, and I threw those numbers in. So I need to sit down with everybody and we need to talk about if we need to adjust those. But when we look at the current for the whole study area, which I don't really like to do in this downtown, is 970 spaces, right? So let's move to the core, because what we did was we separated out just those blocks in the core. So all the same demand factors, but we're looking at just that yellow stripes and area in the core, and we're looking at a current surplus and deficit of 296 spaces. 5 year, 268, so it's dropping, and the 10 year down to 260. Right, so some of these places, there definitely are pockets of shortages in the downtown, but if we could get some of these employees to park or move out a little further, especially during your peak season, I think we can really tackle this and with some good management, it'll make the system work better for everyone. So next slide.
Before we do that one, may I just ask a question? Because
sure can.
What I'm seeing here is we have a demand of just under 500, a supply of just under 800. So we currently have a surplus of just under 300, and a projected surplus, they get a little bit smaller 5 years out and 10 years out. Mm-hmm. But right now, What I take from this, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we have enough spaces, whether they're all in the right places or whether we're managing them to maximize them, is the real issue on us right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we have to include both public and private in the demand, because there's private parking in the downtown. So one of the things we talked, you know, getting those contracts to potentially maybe use some of those private lots at night when the private user isn't using them, and different things like that can help balance this out better too.
So out of that 792 supply number is both public and private lots right here?
Exactly. Okay. And then it's all separated for you. So you can see what the actual surplus of public, or what the actual supply of public and private is within the core.
Gotcha. Okay. Good.
All right. And then the next one, I really like to do maps that show things really simple and straightforward. So you'll see the surplus deficit maps. Anything in green and blue is a surplus. The blue is over 100 spaces surplus. The green is less than, and then we've got a yellow spot here, which is in a shortage area. But we have to look, because we need to look at each block like an island first, so we understand what their need is. But then there's the reality, right? There's not always parking on your block in a downtown because the whole issue is you want to make it dense without a lot of lots breaking up the parking, so we typically have to walk a little bit for parking in downtown. So where, within a reasonable walking distance, can we meet that parking need? Okay, and then...
Now, on this map, is this both looking at surface lots and on-street parking?
All of the parking is in there.
Okay. Are you for the next one?
Yep. And so then we throw in some additional development to see how that could change our downtown. And now we've got two red blocks. So, and we still have this yellow one down here. So is there parking within this area to meet that need? And we do still have an overall surplus in the core of 120 and this whole area of 621.
So that surplus number would be included in the plus 120?
Yeah.
For the private lots?
Yeah, public and private. Yeah. So then the next slide. So now we see 10 year, which has quite a bit more development in here. Do you have a page in the report? So about 30,000 square foot additional in the 10 year of different uses, right? So it starts to make some changes. Plus any vacancies you have, and I know you don't have a lot of vacancies in your downtown, which is really awesome. You guys are doing a great job. Any of those vacancies you have are in the 5 year, we look at those as being 40% reoccupied, just because we don't know. So 40% seems to be a good number that we use, and then 80% reoccupied in the 10 year. Yes.
I have a question about that core area and the deficit there. Was that, that's a 5 year and a 10 year projection mm-hmm. based on development. Yes. In that area, one of the major surface lots is the Foxman lot, probably heard of.
Right.
Did that presume development of that site?
Yes, it did. Yep. And we detailed all those sites in the report. And I think I'm going to add a map in that just shows which sites that we added on for that. But then we'll finalize that square footage for those buildings too. Even though it'll still be, you know, not sure what you'd like to see, but it helps you plan. So whenever we build on a lot, obviously we have to take that parking out. So that was done as well. So then we get into the recommendations. Overall, we'd love to see a downtown. You guys are growing or want to grow some more on those potential sites. So we need to start to manage parking more than we have been in the past. We really need to pay attention to it to make sure that the retail can survive, that the, you know, because you get that struggle with retail when you've got restaurants, a lot of restaurants in your downtown, all those employees are coming in at 4 o'clock for that night shift, parking in the spaces that the retail is desperately relying on. And now what happens? They don't stay open later because they stop paying business after 4 o'clock because their customers can't find parking. How do we manage the whole thing so it works for everyone, right? So it's time to have one person who's one of their tasks, right? We all wear a lot of tasks, a lot of hats for our jobs. One of their tasks will be overseeing parking, so they're that one single point of contact that we can all go to. I already talked about discouraging any additional private development and working with other private lots to try to get those into the public realm, if at all possible. The cool thing for a city is they've got great liability insurance, so a lot of banks will be like, oh, we don't know about the liability, but if you have an agreement with the city, you have a really good liability coverage at that point. And the next slide. So marketing parking is huge. We've given some ideas on how to market. When you have special events, you need to market those special events. Have specific flyers that you can kind of adjust and tweak that go out to the person putting on the special event. Boating, Boat trailer parking was a huge one that came up over and over again for the Thunder, Boeing Thunder. So I know there's an agreement with the airport now, but maybe really hammer that out and work with the chamber and the Main Street program to come up with a really good plan. So next year for the Boeing Thunder, everyone knows where they can take their boat trailers and their boats even and store them and come into downtown. Maybe work with the shuttle service as well from Charlotte Boys Transit and get people back downtown. But just that kind of stuff. People need to know when, where they can park when they come into downtown. Add some more bicycle racks. You guys are a really big bicycle community. Get those people to stop and stay as they're going around the lake on the long trail. Next slide. And sorry, I'm trying to go through this really quickly. This is a real key issue in many, many downtowns is signage. Signage is so important. Like I said, people need to know where they can park. This is called an introduction sign that belongs at every single public parking lot. It should state who can park there, how long they can park there, any restrictions on certain days of the week. And then we need to direct people to public parking lots, right? You get a lot of people, well, you're in your town every day, so it doesn't, you know where everything is. Well, you got a lot of visitors coming in, so let's direct them to where they need to go. You already have the wayfinding. These things work with your current wayfinding. And then don't forget about pedestrians. Make sure they can find their way back to their vehicle when they parked it. It's not like a massive downtown, but still, people get confused and turn around after they've gone into, you know, walked down three or four blocks, gone into 20 different stores, and now they can't remember where their car is. And then the two-hour parking, those all signs need to be consistent, and one of our recommendations is that you kind of need to begin to enforce that parking. If you want the system to work right, it doesn't mean you have to go out and give everybody tickets all the time. Talk about courtesy tickets and things like that as you can get the technology to do so, but it has to be enforced in order to make the system work right. To some level. Maybe only enforce it in the peak summer months. And that you're really lenient on the type of tickets, or you issue a lot of courtesy tickets, but those repeat offenders, if they never get a ticket, why would they know? So next slide. We just talked about a lot of pedestrian enhancements, right? Parking isn't just about parking vehicles, it's about getting them to and from areas. And you have a great downtown with a ton of businesses that have great storefronts. You have good lighting, good flowers. Just make sure that we continue that all throughout the core. So when we're asking an employee to walk, you know, maybe three blocks in the peak, that walk is not scary. Even though I'm sure the crime rate is super low, I've been in really high-end towns and felt extremely uncomfortable when it's pitch black. Because trees or shrubbery or different things like that. So we just got to think, come outside of ourselves and understand what other people will experience when they walk in those areas. Residential permit parking, you want more residents in the downtown. We want to make sure those people don't get ticketed and they know where they can park. Make sure we have loading zones close to where they can drop their groceries and then maybe go park a block away. People love to live in the downtowns because they provide all of these things that you don't have to walk to, but we have to make sure that there are spots where they're not going to want to rent the units out. We talk about a little further away employee parking during those peak months, down by the school building. Actually, if you can go a little further, I can, there's a grant and I believe I can discuss more. Yep, right here. This map shows the walking ranges. We go out to 1,250 foot. Which is approximately 5 minute walk. And what it shows is from kind of going kind of in the center of the downtown, walking out, that there's a lot of available parking for employees to park, which is a quick 5 minute walk within those 4 months. And if we can get some people to take some on-street parking where there isn't residential, down by the church down here, there's, I think around this block number 20 that's in the report, I believe there were 80 some spaces available. Part of this area out here is just outside of that 5 minute walk. You know, when your paycheck relies on people coming in and out, that just outside a 5 minute walk isn't the worst thing in the world. So if we let them know where to park and all that stuff, it helps. Marketing it, letting people know when there's changes, really working well. It's all about communication and parking, because people get really angry when things change about parking and they don't know. It's a really sore topic in a lot of communities, and I understand that. But the more you communicate and talk about it and make sure everybody's on the same page, the better off you'll be. And I was glad there. So.
Very interesting, very thorough. This was the starting point. And you're going to come back tonight to present this?
Yes, we'll have like an open house setting, so I have a whole lot of the information on reports on very large boards to set around the room so you can see it really well, walk up to it, we can talk about it, ask questions, have some places for public comments and things like that.
Have the business owners been notified of this individually?
As far as I know.
Not individually, no. We've set it up in the beginning.
But they were involved with lots of one-on-one interviews during the process.
Yes, yeah, we had, I think it was somewhere around 20 to 25 different interviews while we were here the first time. Wow. It was really good, a lot of good feedback and participation. And there's obviously time for feedback to go through whoever the issue you want to set up to get to me.
When you did this, did you look at our zoning and what we require for parking downtown? Is there a conflict there with what, when you say you have to develop private parking lots, do we have any conflict with our zoning?
Well, you have, in the zoning it talks about you have the right to change whatever that is, so every new use would then go through the zoning committee, and they would then decide whether or not you need parking. So you really don't have, I mean, you have requirements, but you don't require within the core. There's kind of a waiver. And you do actually have provisions for shared use parking, which are good. We'll kind of talk about that in a little bit, as long as it's in 300 feet of the destination. I would recommend, and the text isn't in there, I just thought of this, I don't know why I didn't do it, but I would recommend putting it closer to at least the 600-foot range, because it's really not that far of a walk in your core. But yeah, we did look at the zoning. And your numbers are, I liked the numbers that I saw. They were more suited for a downtown setting. Even the numbers as you go out further, those are good. We're not saying that you need to change what you require and change your zoning to fit our parking generation ratios. What we're saying is to use that as a tool to understand what your parking shortages, surpluses are.
And what about 15-minute parking spots? You made reference to that in your report. What about that?
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy over some 15-minute spots that are in the downtown. Our recommendation is that they never belong to any use in the downtown. We recommend 1 to 2 per block phase if necessary. One can typically handle it, and they should be at the middles or the ends of the block. And so they're kind of, most of the 15-minute stalls that you have in your downtown are pumped in one area. And I know there's a lot of history behind that. But they shouldn't all be there. You can look at the turnover and occupancy numbers and see that's just one day, but you can send someone else out to look at the turnover of those spaces. And I think you have people not parking because there's so many, there's 8 there, I think, in one spot. You got 2 over by, I believe it's True Value Hardware, and 1 down by
Lake Street Market.
Shop. Yes.
Lake Street Market.
Yeah, I mean, the 1 and the 2 aren't too bad, but they seem very specific for the users, and that's not cool, because it really needs to be, the system needs to work for everyone, because if you're not requiring businesses to put in parking, then it has to work for everyone and be consistent. That's the other thing. Parking always has to be consistent. We've had communities where people put out cones, or, you know, put up their own signs throughout the day. It's like, no, it has to be, the city owns it. It's meant to work for everyone. Those are hard things. It's not always easy, especially when things have gone certainly in the past. So that can be tricky.
So you're here today and tomorrow. What are the next steps with regards to the project?
The next step is to get feedback from you as quickly as possible, because the longer we let it sit out there, the less input I actually get. So if you can all go through the report, get your comments in, I assume they're getting them to you from the council, and get that to me. We can talk about things tomorrow with staff and such. And
what kind of comments would you like? I mean, what do you want us to respond to, or what would be helpful?
Well, any questions, I guess, if there's things that you still have questions on after you read it, I need to know that. I write a lot of these, so I do my very best, but I understand that because I deal with it on a day-in and day-out basis, maybe I didn't explain something very well, or left out a thought or two, or something along those lines. So that's the big thing. I found two parking errors today, so try to go over it, but I mean, there's all these things.
Yeah, and would you like us to be able to respond tonight and then to you by?
I think our goal was to be done by September 1st, but we have, this is starting a working document, so if we could get stuff back
soon,
you know, it would be helpful.
So like the Friday after the Labor Day weekend, I would think.
Friday.
Because I'm thinking right now, we're just getting into the Labor Day weekend. It's a nuts time here in town, so I'm thinking realistically, you're not probably going to have a chance to really focus on this before Labor Day. So if you took a few days after that, and by that Friday after the Labor Day weekend, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I would ask the commissioners, you all got, I think I sent you all the digital version of the report. If anybody really wants a hard copy of it, let me know, because that might be easier for some of you to review and then highlight and then make recommendations. We'll be glad to print off additional copies.
One last question about turnover.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours to 12 hours, it was 12%, which probably equates to employee parking. Is that an egregious number, or out of balance, or is that uncommon?
It's not awful. You know, we like to see less than a 7% violation rate. But the thing is they weren't in violation, all of them, because I didn't count just the, I could take out just the areas that are labeled 2 hour, and you can also see it on the map that shows you where the number of violations occurred. But I guess I didn't separate it because enforcement isn't done on a regular basis, because that's what the community wants at this point.
7% is a more workable number,
because it's so it's not completely out of range, but it's just because your core it's not huge. So to me, there's not an understanding with employees right now of where they should park, and maybe there is, but there's never been any consequence, so they don't see it as a reason to park elsewhere.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Was there something too with this redevelopment ready? Where were there soil samples on the Flashman lot? Is that part of this, or is that a separate?
Yeah, that was a related ask city had, was to support some soil borings on the Flashman lot to see, you know, what the underground conditions were like, and what kind of additional footing work might be needed for any future development on that site. So we're still. Have to circle back to the consultant on that to get final results. And in fact, I was talking to that consultant yesterday, so that's going to be a discussion that I'm going to bring your thought as well, too. It is some preliminary things. The soils, the initial findings weren't so good, so we're trying to figure out, okay, what guidance, or is that sufficient, or is there additional information that we need to get to have a useful tool going forward?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that will done. We appreciate it. We will certainly use that as a tool for moving forward. Let's go to the business item B, Veteran Memorial Tree Brothers Monument.
You have in your agenda packet a recommendation, as well a request from the Veteran Memorial Committee and a recommendation from the Park and Recreation Board. They're looking to put put a new monument out at that location here at the Veterans Memorial with regards to the three brothers who lost their lives during World War II, so I don't think of the name. You have in your agenda packet pictures showing the proposed monument, and also a picture of an aerial showing the park setting as it currently is. They have not specified either to the park board or to staff yet exactly where this monument will go in the circle site. There is a monument similar to that, very close to the center of the circle, and we're not sure if they're looking to put it close to that or close to the World War II memorial. We don't have a representative from them here today. They did know that they were going to be having a meeting today. I recommend that the City Commission approve this, subject to working out any final details with staff.
Is there anyone here from the audience or department head who would like to speak? Board deliberation? Seven?
I'm all for it.
Dean?
That's fine. I'm just wondering if Veterans Memorial Committee or Parks Committee has sort of a strategy or a plan for future monuments. It seems like these would just come up as sort of an ad hoc thing. Or within the design of the Veterans Memorial, is there areas that are sort of designated for future monuments?
And the commission would like we can have that discussion. I did have Mr. Wiesner, who was here helping the Veterans Memorial Committee, come up with what we have currently or very similar to it. And those were some of the discussions. At the end of the day, we don't want us or the Veterans Memorial Committee to take what is a great resource here and basically somehow have so much stuff in it that it loses its impact. So if there's ways we can help them plan that going forward to make sure that people are adequately remembered and memorialized in a way that preserves the integrity of the monument, we'd be glad to do that. Yeah, excellent.
You?
Yeah, and I think too, I was on the Parks and Rec meeting, and George Lessinger presented there, and he described this as just an oversight that they couldn't believe that they hadn't done something to honor these three brothers. So they were trying to, make amends for that. Sort of. And the other thing too, with the with the memorial, it's hard to kind of know what the future is going to hold. Like with Mr. Diner, and you never know what's going to have to go somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Life happens, and so. But I, George made the presentation, and I'm fully behind it, and they've done great things. So Parks Commission is fully behind it.
Thank you. Ron?
They've certainly done a beautiful job with this memorial, and it's kept up real nice, and they have put a lot of thought in it, so I'm really in favor of it, improving it.
I'm also a full supporter of the acknowledgement of the comments that have already been made. So, this needs to be a motion.
I'll go ahead and move to approve the request from Veterans Memorial Committee to install a monument on the current memorial site in Veterans Park to honor the three LeBrecht brothers and work with city staff regarding the exact location.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
On to item C, request to go into closed session. Mike, do we anticipate any action after we come out of closed session? Okay. So we can go on to item 10, which is good of the order. That way, you don't have to get back in our closed session. Commissioners, anything for good of the order?
Just one thing. Mike, have you talked about having the police department's concern about diving off the dock in a future agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you. Anything else? weekend in Boynton City Shine, so all the locals are working hard, and our visitors are enjoying the hospitality of Boynton City. That's a good thing. Our next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 11th at 7 p.m. I will make a motion to go into closed session.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Do we meet in the downstairs conference room?